This is Pastor Emery. There are 3 30-minute radio broadcasts on this tape. During those broadcasts, I offer a specific literature packet to radio listeners. Since you may be hearing this tape months, possibly even years after I did the actual broadcast, please do not write and ask for those packets. They may no longer be available. This is Pastor Emery. The United States suffers blizzards, floods, mudslides, and overflowing rain, sleet, and snow. In the 37th chapter of Job, we read that God Almighty Himself claims to control the rain and the snow. Verse 6, "For He saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of His strength." Verse 10 says, "God gives frost or cold by the breath of His mouth." In other places in the Bible, God repeats this claim that He controls the earth weather. With all the disasters caused by rain, snow, and cold, we not only do not hear God's claim to control the weather, neither do our weather forecasts or our newspapers tell us our government is seeding over the western states, seeding which then accumulates over the Great Plains and dumps 10 inches of rain here and 3 feet of snow there and 15 inches of rain in another place and tornadoes in another. For more information on who is tampering with America's weather, stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Put out your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ King, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. Pray that the Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. In the 37th chapter of Job, after the Almighty states His claim to the control of rain and hail, frost and snow, and so on, verse 13, He speaks of the clouds and it, meaning cloud, and it is turned round by His counsels, that they may do whatsoever He commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for His land, or for mercy, end of quote. Three reasons why that which is brought by the clouds, whether it be rain, snow, wind, or drought, is caused to come. It can be for correction or for the land, which would mean that if the land, God might send the rain simply for the land's benefit, or for mercy, for the needs of man and creatures upon the earth. Now, one can hardly say that 3 feet of snow on a great city, which brings all travel and commerce to a halt, would be for mercy, nor would blizzards and 50 and 60 mile an hour winds, causing tens of millions of dollars in damage, be for mercy, nor would floods, bringing destruction to the homes of thousands, be for mercy. The weathermen and news writers have admit that some of the storms hitting the United States are the worst in decades. The floods in the lower Mississippi River Valley may be the highest and worst ever recorded. It's trying to tell America something. This is Pastor Emery, and I'm going to give you my address in just about 1 minute, so get a pencil and a paper where you can write for what I call our weather packet. Various government agencies, including the United States Air Force, have been, for many weeks, seeding the cloud formations in the West States, particularly over the Rocky Mountains. That seeding sometimes brings increasing snow to the great watershed of the Rockies, supposedly for the benefit of the hydroelectric power companies, which need the water behind their dams for both electricity and irrigation. It is also done for and by the ski resorts, which need snow or they won't make any money. However, according to many competent weather researchers, the silver iodide and other chemicals which they spread across western states often does not fall there, but carry on east by the air masses, sometimes meeting with other large masses of chemicalized air, and will cause cold, blizzards, cloudbursts, and floods in the Great Plains and on into the Mississippi Valley. In the last several years, hundreds of American citizens have been drowned by these man-caused, or I should say government-caused, floods. Hundreds of millions of dollars in people's property has been destroyed, and it goes on and on. And someone said, "Oh, Pastor Emery, no one would try to cause blizzards and clubs and tornadoes and floods." Well, perhaps not. They are really trying to cause snow in the Rockies, but the results are entirely different than what they might have desired. Anyway, you write to me and get this long and rather detailed information. It is much more than I can read. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the weather packet. Our weather packet has a number of things in it. One long research article is titled, "The Weather War, Devastation of America." It is about weather warfare, how governments, including the Soviet Union, can cause changes in weather to injure or destroy an opponent. Some of it is done by electromagnetic waves, some by cloud seeding, and some by several other methods, all of which are discussed in some detail on that report on weather warfare. Much of this has been reported in Canadian newspapers and in the United Nations, but by and large, the citizens of the United States have been kept almost totally in the dark about the scientific experiments which have been going on for more than 20 years in the dark art of changing the natural patterns of weather across the continent. Some of you people have already suffered from it. Many Americans have died from it. Most of you know many of these storms in the last winters and at other times of the year have far exceeded anything of the past, especially the 12 inches of rain, 15 inches of rain, 20 inches of rain in a matter of hours, but you have not been told why they are happening. I will give you the how, in other words, how this is done, and I will refer again to the God of creation as to the why. Remember, God said rain comes and clouds and snow and frost for correction or for the land or for mercy. Is it possible God is again using the elements and allowing our enemies scientific experiments in order to warn and correct us, to tell us our ways are not pleasing in His sight? Here is my address again for these articles on weather warfare. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the weather packet. That packet is free. My address for that is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Now I am also going to give you another address to write for some specific information on the 1977 through 1982 fall and winter storms which brought devastation to the Central Plains and the Mississippi Valley. This is additional material of which I do not have sufficient copies to offer on radio, so you should get it direct from the publisher. Their article has satellite photos showing the cloud seeding in the Rockies, which brought floods from Kansas to the Mississippi Valley. Here is their address. Acres, USA, that is acre, like an acre of land. Acres, USA, Box 9547, Raytown, that's one word, Raytown, Missouri, 64133. Ask for their January 1983, not 1982, January 1983 issue. It is 40 pages, tabloid newspaper size, and most of it is on how to raise crops and animals without chemical fertilizers and pesticides. This is an organic, oriented farm publication. However, they also keep current on the cloud seeding projects of the United States government and of state governments, and in their January 1983 issue, they have a large spread including satellite pictures of the clouds showing how the cloud seeding done over the Rocky Mountain area in 1977 then drifted on east. Several cloud systems met in a line from the southwest corner of Kansas to the north and east of Kansas on September 11th and 12th of 1977, and they caused that generally devastating rain and hail along a several hundred mile front, including the flood in the Plaza area in Kansas City, Missouri. The people associated with Acres USA, in their monitoring of the United States government's attempts to control the weather, actually warned the Kansas City Police Department 2 weeks before the flood that the cloud seeding in the western United States could very well bring devastating rain to the Central Plains area. No one believed them, of course, since many city authorities do not even know such cloud seeding goes on a regular basis, and so the people in Kansas City were not warned before the flood. 14 inches of rain fell in a matter of hours. Just like in 1982, 15 inches of rain fell in hours in Louisiana and parts of Texas and Arkansas in December of 1982. Not from normal weather, but from weather modification programs carried out by the United States government and various western state agencies. And by the way, Acres USA actually has the names of over 50 different organizations in the United States, from counties to private weather modification operations who use airplanes and other devices to seed the clouds. The article in Acres USA, January 1983, is of the 1977 floods. This article had been prepared before the 1982 floods, but the pictures and the text show the method used to cause the 1977 floods was exactly the same as the methods which caused the 1982 blizzards and floods in central United States. Now, you should send at least $2 to Acres USA for that January 1983 issue. Each issue of their publication sells for $1.35, and there will be postage and handling, of course. All you folks who are not regular subscribers should send at least the $2. Their address, again, Acres USA, Box 9547, that's 9547, Raytown, Missouri, the zip code is 64133, that's 64133. And by the way, these cloud seeding operations by your government and various western states authorities are the cause of the so-called acid rain which falls in eastern United States and eastern Canada. The various officials act ignorant and confused or deny they are doing this, as if they just can't figure out that acid rain, but it is really quite simple. It is at least partially the result of attempts at weather modification of which the United States government is a party. Here is a quote from that January 1983 Acres USA publication as they summed up the flood of 1977. I'll be reading at least a portion of the article from that Acres USA, and then I'll give their address a little later where you can write to them. And remember also to write to us for the other material, which is quite lengthy, which I am not reading on the radio broadcast. In the Acres USA article, they summed up the flood of 1977 and the fact that the Kansas authorities had ignored their warning that it could happen. Quote, "The predicted deluge occurred, as it will again, as long as intentional chemical electronic weather modification remains uncontrolled. Then they give the dates December 2nd and 3rd, 1982, which would have been just a few days before this issue was printed. Reading on, December 2nd and 3rd, 1982, out-of-season tornadoes left a path of death and destruction across Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, and Illinois. Chemicals used in atmospheric seeding projects caused the release of tremendous amounts of latent heat into the atmosphere. The excessive release of latent heat is one of the primary factors in the genesis of tornadoes. This outbreak of tornadoes in December, and let me insert here, remember, 20 years ago you never heard of tornadoes in December. This outbreak of tornadoes in December is tragic testimony against the current practice of intentional chemical electronic weather modification. The weather that chemicals from winter orographic snowpack augmentation, and that's their own title, WOSA, W-O-S-A, and this is for seeding to cause snow in the mountains. The weather modifiers will not admit that residue chemicals from winter orographic snowpack augmentation programs in the Rocky Mountains can and do contribute to destructive weather such as that which occurred in Arkansas, Missouri, and Illinois, December 2nd and 3rd, 1982. The facts are stated and restated here to inform readers and officials that we will continue to report this ongoing story until the public finally wakes up and forces the powers that be to cool it with their uncontrolled science. Those who have taken a hard position against nuclear plants and toxic chemicals in the food supply must now add weather modification to the growing roster of crimes of the century. The consequences of the muddy road, and this muddy road was the title the government had given to their 1977 plowed seeding operation, which of course makes up the bulk of this report I am reading. This is the one that caused the devastation in 1977 in Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. The consequences of the muddy road operation are both apparent and beyond contradiction. The fact that this operation continues year after year, delivering devastating floods down track, is testimony to the indifference and ignorance in official circles. The December 3, 1982 satellite photo revealed cloud formations that were the consequence of an excessive amount of convection around Veracruz oil fields, and I should insert here, in the article in another place, they also point out there is seeding over Mexico, which then comes across the Gulf and hits the Mississippi Valley. Also, satellite photos for the same period revealed a fan cloud formation over New Mexico. The two systems apparently blended into one as they bumped into each other, and I should insert here that if you know something about this, the average citizen can watch the satellite photos on your own television set as they give the weather. And you can often see how two cloud systems form and then meet, and at the point of meeting is usually where the silver iodide and the acetone is exceptionally heavy, and there will be the cloudburst of 12 inches of rain or 15 or 20 inches of rain and 2 and 4 foot of snow. If you watch this very closely, you might even be able to begin to predict it yourself, even though your TV newsman supposedly cannot do it. This means that operations under the auspices of state and federal officials, with civilian and Mexican seeding operations thrown in for good measure, bumped into each other and delivered to Missouri and Illinois the devastating floods. This article I am reading from was published in early December 1982 and, of course, would have been before the south end of that cloud seeding brought the deluge further south to Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, and so on. And that's why the article only mentions Kansas on through up to Illinois. In further explanation, the Acres USA article goes on. A procedure would also increase the temperature differential between two air masses, thereby creating artificial lows. These in turn would draw in more moisture and generate the potential for massive storm systems east of the Rockies. Front page pictures of people wading in ice water will become commonplace during the winter months of the 1980s as the scientists continue to replace God by assuming godhood themselves. And remember what I read in Job. God has set up the weather for His purposes, and I'll get back to that in the next broadcast. Akers continues, unfortunately, no human being can claim to be omnipotent and sane at the same time. In Kansas City, Independence, and Raytown, Missouri, the town dads have been meeting to deal with what the Kansas City Star calls the enduring conflict of life between civilization and nature. Yet none seem to be able to comprehend that 18,000 Missouri residents were driven from their homes recently because of man-made weather, not because of nature's heavy hand. And I repeat, this article was printed before the floods reached the southern Mississippi Valley area, so there's no mention in it of Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee, and so on. The article then concludes, in the months and years to come, people living downtrack from modification sites can look forward to having their living rooms fouled with mud, stones, and debris. Around St. Louis, along the Merrimack and the Big and Burbank Rivers, through Illinois, and at any site in the Rain Belt, the floods will become so commonplace they will be treated as mundane matters in the public prints. End of quote. I just read a portion of the article in the January 1983 Acres USA publication. If you want a copy of that, complete with the rather large satellite photos of the seeding and storms of 1977 and their analysis and comparison to 1982, send at least $2, not to me, but to Acres USA, Post Office Box 9547, that's 9547, Raytown, Missouri. The zip code is 64133. 64133. Ask for their January 1983 issue. Do not write to me for that Acres USA article. Instead, write to me for our weather packet, which includes a rather detailed and scientific information study on weather modification programs being carried out by both the United States government and also by the Soviet Union. That article is titled, The Weather War Devastation of America, because it is about the deliberate manipulation of large air masses over Canada and the United States by the Soviet Union using electronic methods. And information in that article is from at least a dozen sources, including results of several years of study of the Soviet electromagnetic transmissions by a team of Canadian scientists. Little of this has been allowed to reach the American people, although some of it has been published in Canadian newspapers. In Deuteronomy 28, Almighty God gave Israel a promise and a warning. A promise of blessings if they would obey His laws, statutes, and judgments, a warning of judgment and cursings if they refuse to obey. I do not think it is arguable, but that the United States of America in this last half of the 20th century is disobeying these God-given laws. Here is a part of the promise of God to His people for obedience. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Great blessings in agriculture and in industrial production. God goes on, and then in verse 11 through 13, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open up unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give thy rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Notice one of the promised blessings for obedience was, in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season. To give your land rain when the land needs it. Some of the areas now flooded in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and so on, were areas which lost a high percentage of their crops from lack of rain and a great drought several years ago. Temperatures of over 100 went on for weeks and weeks. Great crop loss to tens of thousands. The rain did not come when it was needed. Now it is coming when it is not needed. It only drowns the area and causes massive damage. The loss is really incalculable in property damage, lost jobs, broken homes, and so on. I would suggest you read all of Deuteronomy 28 after I go off the air. Read the 14 verses of promised blessings, followed by 54, yes, 54 verses of warnings of curses for disobedience. And after you read Deuteronomy 28, read Job 37. Where God says he controls the rain and snow and the cold. Perhaps it is time we ask, as Gideon did of old, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. The announcer will repeat my address in a moment, where you can write and ask for that free weather packet. And God willing, will continue this subject for the next broadcast. When you write, please tell me the call letters of the station over which you hear America's Promise. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America. This is Pastor Emery with broadcast number 2 asking, who is tampering with God's weather? In broadcast number 1, I said the Soviets were broadcasting extremely powerful electromagnetic wave fields into our atmosphere to cause disruption in America's weather. Since that broadcast, we have learned a large Soviet Earth satellite is falling out of orbit and may crash to Earth, and that it has over 100 pounds of nuclear fuel aboard. What are the Soviets doing with 100 pounds of nuclear fuel in a satellite when a whole U.S. submarine can be run for years on only 5 pounds. Are such Soviet satellites the source of the huge electromagnetic fields off our coast that Canadian science have been tracking and which have disrupted normal weather patterns since 1976? And what does God Almighty have to say about all of this? Call anyone you know who has suffered from America's supposedly freak tornadoes, blizzards, 15-inch rainstorms, and 100-year floods since 1976, and tell them to tune in for broadcast number 2 on Who is Tampering with God's Weather.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. In just a minute, I am going to give my address where you can write for our free packet of literature we call our Weather Packet. It includes extensive research on U.S. government and Soviet Union weather experiments, which have greatly altered the weather over North America, specifically bringing on the highly destructive rains, blizzards, and floods which have taken many lives and destroyed much property since 1976. Last week I read parts of one article which showed exactly how the floods that hit Kansas and Nebraska on September 11th and 12th, 1977, and again on August 12th, 1982, were caused by cloud seeding over the Rockies and over Mexico. That article concluded with these words, quote, "In the months and years to come, people living downtrack from modification sites can look forward to having their living rooms fouled with mud, stone, and debris. At any site in the Rain Belt, the floods will become so commonplace, they will be treated as mundane matters in the public prints," end of quote. Most of that cloud seeding is going on over the western states, so it is the states east of the Rocky Mountains, and specifically in the Great Mississippi Valley, which will receive the most destruction from those man-made storms. That article was in the January 1983 issue of Acres USA, an organic farm publication from Raytown, Missouri. I'll give you their address again after I give you my own. And while you are getting a pen and paper to write down my address, get your Bible, because I want to refer you to some passages in it about weather. Now about our free literature on this subject, write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for our weather packet. In that packet will be a lengthy study titled "The Weather War Devastation of America." It is about the use of electromagnetic transmissions by the Soviet Union to change the climate over North America to reduce our farm production. They began these electromagnetic transmissions in 1976. It now appears that those transmissions come from several places, from land-based transmitters in Siberia, from Soviet ships stationed off the U.S. coast, and possibly from nuclear satellites, one of which is now apparently falling. In any case, this compilation on Soviet weather warfare is perhaps the most complete you will find offered anywhere in the United States. Our own government will not admit that the Soviets are trying to disrupt our weather. After all, the U.S. officials want us to believe they are protecting us from our enemies. If we knew the truth, we might run the whole crew out of Washington, D.C. and some of the state capitals. Here is my address again for that free weather packet, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free weather packet. Later in the broadcast, if I have time, I'll read from some of the scientific report on the Soviet electromagnetic transmissions which have caused both violent storms and drought over the United States, especially the long drought in central U.S. in 1980. First, let's talk about God's Word a little, for God Almighty will be the final arbiter in this battle which is being waged against America and Christianity by the Red Bolsheviks. Turn with me to Revelation 17 and 18, for I want to be sure my listeners understand who is the intended victim in this last battle, this end-of-the-age battle upon the earth. So many ministers tell us that the intended target or victim of red aggression is the little, dried-up land of Jewish-occupied Palestine, and one has to read the Bible once in a while to find out the truth. Revelation 17, that great Antichrist end-of-the-age system, is both named and described. John is shown a vision, which he describes and which the angel then explains to him. I'll read some of the pertinent verses. You should read both chapters. Verse 3 of Revelation 17, "I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." For that's red. That is the color of communism, as you know. "Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." The woman herself is described in verse 4 as being arrayed in purple and scarlet, and scarlet is that red color again. Then she is named in verse 5. "And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now I want every person who hears my voice to read the next verse in Revelation 17 with me, if you have your Bible, or listen closely to me if you do not, and then read it for yourself later, because many, many preachers teach two doctrines which Revelation 17 would prove to be false if you would read it. The first one is, they teach this red Antichrist world power wants to destroy Jewish Palestine. Number two, they teach that you Christians will not suffer under the Antichrist because you are going to be raptured to heaven before the Antichrist rule. Listen to verse 6 of Revelation 17 as to who it is the red Antichrist will kill. Quote, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. What people did this scarlet woman of Revelation kill in such vast numbers that their blood made her drunken? Jews? No, the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. That this woman symbolizes the great Antichrist power that would rule the whole world in the end of this age is made plain and true in the last verse of that chapter. Verse 18 of Revelation 17, the angel of God tells John, the woman which thou sawest is that great city, or system, that great city which ruleth over the kings of the earth. That great city which ruled over the kings of the earth killed who? Christians. Christians. Think. Think. The ministers tell you the Christians won't suffer under the world beast government because they will be raptured. But the scarlet woman of Revelation 17 has killed 50 million Christian saints since 1917, so many she gets drunk on their blood. While the ministers and evangelists try to convince you that Russia is going to invade Palestine, Russia has nuclear satellites orbiting the earth aimed where? At America and Western Europe. Russia has nuclear submarines patrolling the coastal waters of what nation? America and Western Europe. Russia has hundreds of thousands of subversives and revolutionists active where? In Palestine? No. In Central America, Canada, the United States, and Western Europe. The Soviet Union is estimated to have at least 6,000 missiles ready to fire. Where are they aimed? At Palestine? Nonsense. They are aimed at the United States, Canada, and Western Europe. In plain words, the entire thrust of red power is aimed at Christendom, at the nations where the followers of Jesus Christ live, just as the Word of God said it would be. The Holy Word of God in Revelation 17, in scores of passages in the prophets, and by the words of Jesus Christ himself, warns us over and over that the Antichrist would wage war not against those who deny Christ. How dumb can you get? Why would Antichrist destroy the Antichrist, but against those who proclaim Jesus Christ? Any Christian who will diligently read and study the Word of God will find in minutes or hours that the last battle to be fought upon the earth is the battle by those who deny that Jesus has come in the flesh against those who profess that Jesus has come in the flesh. Revelation 17 and verse 6 tells us that Antichrist's power will murder and destroy so many Christians, she was shown to St. John as drunken upon their blood. How many of you have heard ministers read verses from Daniel 7 about the little horn and say that little horn is the Antichrist who will rise to rule the world, and then they add, oh, but that's okay, because all you Christians will be gone in the rapture before that Antichrist begins his rule. Nonsense. Read Daniel 7 yourself, not just the verses they read, but all of the verses. Here is verse 21. Here is what Daniel said, quote, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. End of quote. If the saints of God are going to be snatched off the earth in a so-called secret rapture before this little horn rules, how come Daniel saw a vision of that little horn not only making war with the saints, but prevailing against them. Verse 25 says of that same little horn, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." In other words, he will be anti-God and anti-Christ, and that makes him anti-Christian, "and will wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they," meaning the saints, "and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Daniel wrote that the saints would be the target of a war by the little horn. He would prevail against them. He would wear them out, and they would be given into his hand. Where do they get this nonsense that we Christians are not the target of the red Antichrist, which will rule the earth in the end of the age? My brethren, that red Antichrist power has done to death upwards of 50 million professing Christians in less than 70 years. In less than what God calls one man's lifetime, more real Christians have been put to death by the red Antichrist than possibly now remain alive upon the earth. Is it possible that although